joined now. Well, when all the news broke yesterday, this was my...
Just as we were getting off the air. Conveniently.
I wanted to have John Adams on. John Adams, a longtime Knoxville News Sentinel columnist, for my money, one of the best around, and no one, I think, gets to the core of things as well as he does. And John, hey, good morning to you, man.
Morning, John.
Hey, guys.
Wow. Is that a good question? Wow. I don't know where to start. I want to start with Philip Fulmer. I read your column, and this is the end of the Philip Fulmer era. Let's just start there and work our way back.
I think at least it should be, but ironically, on Monday morning, I do an email column occasionally and provide my emails I received and my responses to them. And that morning the column ran, and I'd finished it. I guess it was ready for publication last Friday. And the lead item, the one that was in the headline, was a reader predicting that Philip Fulmer would be fired 3 times at Tennessee. And it was a humorous email, but he was saying that, well, Fulmer would be fired a second time for his part in the debacle with Jeremy Pruitt, and then they would move him to another position, and he would be fired from that later. So it was kind of weird to see that headline on our website, which was up there right when it was announced that there would be a press conference, and word came out that Philip Fulmer had been reassigned, retiring. We got different reports at first, but as it turns out, he will step down, I guess, when the new AD is hired. But the main thing is Philip Fulmer should never have been hired as athletic director. He tried to become athletic director. He competed with John Curry. John Curry was hired. I'm not a huge fan of John Curry's coaching search, which will become legendary in years to come. However, the move that then-Chancellor Beverly Davenport made was worse than that search, as it turned out. I don't know whom Curry would eventually have ended up with, but I don't think it would have been Jeremy Pruitt. And you see the damages that have piled up now. On under Pruitt and under Fulmer. I mean, I don't think Fulmer, as I wrote, Fulmer really was no better at his job than Jeremy Pruitt was at his. I just think he still thought of his position as being a football coach. He'd be out there at practice dressed in coaching attire. He would work extensively with the offensive line. You didn't have anybody really monitoring what Jeremy Pruitt was doing. I go back, I was here when writing columns when Doug Dickey was the AD. Now, he was a former football coach, but I guarantee you Doug Dickey knew what was going on within that football program. He knew that was the most important program in the athletic department, and I think he monitored it accordingly. But I just... You know, I think Fulmer just wasn't aware of this. He wasn't qualified to be an AD, and it was a knee-jerk reaction. And I'm sure he undercut John Curry, who was fired before the search was complete, and then he hired Jeremy Pruitt. Fulmer did 6 days later, and we see how that ended up.
John, it's great to have you on. We appreciate you being on with us. Just curious. What do you think Fulmer's legacy will be? What will people remember the most, the national championship he won or his lack of success as an administrator?
I think it will be divided. Just based on the emails I get, Philip Fulmer's image has changed drastically since he became athletic director. I think people look at him now, a lot of people do, as somebody that has got his hand out and is trying to get more money from the University of Tennessee. I think because he just hasn't gone away. I think before that, I think he was the coach of the national championship team. However, even then, and certainly the large, the largest contingent of fans were grateful to him for that accomplishment and what he did in those glory days for really 1995 through 1998, when Tennessee was at the top of its game. But even then, though, you had a group of people that didn't like Fulmer, didn't respect him for the way he became head coach. They felt he stabbed former coach Johnny Majors in the back and took his job while he was recovering from heart surgery back in 1992. And I think that's a fair assessment. So I think it will be mixed. But I think if he hadn't come back as AD, I think he would be remembered mostly as the guy that won a national championship, even though Johnny Majors fans, older fans, would hold that against him, how he got the job. And that was that group, though not as large, never really changed its opinion. It was very resolute in what it believed about Philip Fulmer. But the larger segment of the fan base remember those national championship days, and I think that would be his main legacy, if not for his coming back and working as athletic director. And I mean, he was getting paid $1 million a year to be an AD. He wasn't earning his money.
John Adams with us. John Adams, KNS on Twitter, Knoxville News Sentinel columnist. And there are those who think that how conveniently all of these charges came. And they're apparently, according to the to Chancellor Plowman, there's a bunch of them. And I don't know that I've heard a chancellor come as forthright with how many level ones, level twos, level threes, all the things that you threw out there. There are people who think with the firing of Pruitt and nine others, saving of $18 million was also a motivating factor. And then this, that the also the team at bottomed out at 3-7 and all of those things coming in. How much of it was really actually looking at all the things that were coming that could be NCAA violations against the backdrop of the program really not being very good?
I think, excuse me, Greg, UT said, UT's administrators, Dante Plowman, the chancellor, Randy Boyd, the president of the UT system, I don't think they said, we got to get rid of this coach. The program is headed in the wrong direction, clearly. But we really can't afford to with this nearly $13 million buyout. Let's see if we can dig up some NCAA violations to use as leverage. I don't think it worked that way. I think there was a whistleblower involved, and I think once they heard about this, they begin, you know, looking into it. Not initially, I don't think it was the idea, let's get Jeremy Pruitt, because you're getting your own program in the process. But then as the investigation went on, they uncovered numerous and serious violations. And then I think the reality of it was, we need to fire this guy, and we can fire him for cause. So, yes, it was to Tennessee's advantage to do this, because it's getting rid of a bad coach, and there's a downside to that. Just how severe UT's penalties might be with the NCAA. The NCAA's not even involved at this point, and you can't come on strong and say these violations were awful. They were severe, extensive, blah blah blah. So we had to take these steps. Well, the NCAA is going to look at this with a hard eye, too. So, but I still think they made the right decision. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt really should have, forget the violations, he should have been, the cause for his firing should have been his record. I mean, he's 16-19 after three seasons. What more proof do you need? He was a defensive guru whose defense couldn't maintain coverage in the secondary, couldn't mount a pass rush. His linebacker play was subpar. And this is a guy that's supposed to be a defensive genius. He was a defensive genius when he had Alabama's talent, let's say that. But anyway, he didn't do what he was expected to do, what he was hired to do. It was a bad hire, Philip Fulmer's hire. And so you could certainly make a case. You could say he should have been fired. The only reason, when all this, when there were doubts being raised and everybody was speculating about should Jeremy Pruitt be fired, hardly the only reason anybody ever gave for not firing him was, well, it cost too much money. But there was nobody, very few people said, well, he's going to turn this thing around eventually. He just needs more time. And you hear that a lot, and sometimes it turns out that a coach program keeps a coach a little longer and things get better. But I think there are more cases where the program continues to decline. And you see other examples of Arkansas this year was a much better team than it had been the previous 2 years. There was a dearth of talent there, certainly. Ole Miss made a quick turnaround. It had more talent, but it made a quick turnaround under Lane Kiffin. Look what Matt Brown did at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. No, it's not in the SEC, but it's a solid league in many respects, and he turned it around just almost immediately. You see examples of this all the time, but there was never any evidence with Pruitt that, yeah, this thing, the good times are coming. And I think Tennessee is entering a very tough period now, but I think it would have been a tough period if Tennessee hadn't fired Jeremy Pruitt and hadn't unearthed these violations.
Well, John, I know none of us are lawyers here, but, based on the evidence and everything going on, do you think Pruitt has a leg to stand on if he wanted to go after the university for at least some of the money?
No, I don't think he has a leg to stand on. I mean, I think the analogy would be would have as much chance of winning that case as he would have of beating Alabama. And he goes into that courtroom. He won't be playing Vanderbilt. He'd be playing Alabama. So no, I don't think there's any chance of that. This is on him. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do now, but I don't see him going to Nick Saban's rehabilitation clinic.
No, he's probably going to get a 3-year show cause before he would come back, right? If all of these allegations are even close to being true.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I look back, Tennessee in basketball was at Donnie Tindall's show cause. Yeah. Much of that was done before he was at Tennessee, and then you had Bruce Pearl, who I thought got hit maybe overly hard for his show cause. But yeah, when your own university is bringing out this information and about your failure to follow the NCAA rule book and your number of assistants involved and members of the staff, the peripheral staff, I think he's in a tough place. I mean, he can go back to Hoover, Alabama, maybe, and coach linebackers or something.
John, what? Craig's laughing over here. John, what?
I just love John's sense of humor.
I know. He's got that, dry Southern sense of humor. It's good stuff. John, what's been your reaction from Vol fans? I mean, they've seen this program just not get it right for a good while, ever since Coach Fulmer got fired back in 08, right? I mean, I know that how impatient that fan base is, right? They want everything now. They want SEC East Championship now, beat Alabama now, get to the college football playoff now. I said earlier in the show, Tennessee just feels like one of those brand names in college football that hasn't lived up to the brand, like a Michigan, like a Texas, like a USC. What's been the fan reaction to all this?
Well, I was just going through some emails today. I mean, it's all been building up. So now one more, you don't build up a tolerance for this. It all compiles so that when one bad blow comes after another one, then you have the cumulative effect. So I think it makes it even worse, other than just the singular event. fans go back to the previous trauma, trying to be a psychologist here, but they go back to the previous trauma, and all this has been building up. It's really fascinating when you look at it, and I think so much of it is attributed to lack of leadership, not at the coaching level so mm-hmm. much, but at the highest level of the university. I mean, I'm working on a column now about reminding people just what's gone on prior to this. I get Donde Plowman, the chancellor, and Randy Boyd are an upgrade over what Tennessee's had. I mean, I'm going back to for years to the administrative leaders who've made one bad hire, one bad decision after another, and that's put Tennessee in a really bad spot. You would think, just a law of averages, you would get someone competent at some point. But I just find, and this is not just at UT, it's exaggerated, I think, at UT, but I found that in general for many years of covering college sports, the decline in the competence, of university administrators. I mean, some of these guys, they almost need to be led around with a leash. You would have a hard time having a lunch conversation with some of them. Jimmy Cheek outlasted many of them. He was the chancellor for a while. I can still see Joan Crone and then women's AD leading him around the arena. There was no leash, but you just kind of felt like he was maybe lost in that environment. I thought one of the best takes on him was he was speaking to a group of people at the cut me off if I'm going too long.
No, we're good, John. Go right ahead, man.
Okay. Well, I remember he was speaking to – I don't remember whether it was like what department it was, but he was speaking, and there was a young boy was kind of running amok through the crowd. He wasn't listening to Jimmy's speech. Anyway, so Jimmy noticed him and said, well, that's a rambunctious little fella. He'll probably grow up to be a Florida Gator one day. Jimmy, now this, it was actually posted a brief time on UT's website, just his speech, and that came up. And then it was taken down quickly. But he came to Tennessee from Florida. I think he was head of the Dean of Agriculture Department at Florida before he came to Tennessee. But it's just such an astounding faux pas just to say that. Tennessee's biggest rival, and he was just thinking Florida Gators. He was there a long time, and here's this little kid. Oh, he's running around in the crowd. He'll probably be a Florida Gator one day. But that, I think that's indicative of the kind of people they've had running the university itself. I mean, go back to Philip Fulmer's hiring as AD. It took two really bad administrators to make that possible. Joe DiPietro was president of the university system. He created a job and put Philip Fulmer in as special advisor to the president. He created the job. I don't remember how much he paid him. I assume he paid him a lot. I think it might have been $500,000 or something of that nature. I don't know why he would do that, but I'm sure Philip Fulmer convinced him how important and significant it was for him to create that job for Philip Fulmer. Imagine, so that put Philip Fulmer back on the university payroll. It also gave him an avenue to get to the new chancellor. And so when John Curry's search went awry, his search for a new football coach, there was Philip Fulmer talking to the chancellor. And everybody knew the search wasn't going well. And I'm sure Philip Fulmer made it very apparent to Beverly Davenport that, hey, I can do this better. Let me get involved with this. Well, and I think that eventually led to her firing Curry and putting Philip Fulmer in there. And he then, after 6 days of research, hired Jeremy Pruitt. So you can just see by these kind of moves and these kind of decisions how this athletic department dumpster fire was created. There were many people involved in it, and they were involved from a higher level. I really think the current tandem, president and chancellor, can improve this, the decision-making process. The president, Randy Boyd, is a longtime businessman, very successful businessman. He's not a nutty professor. So I think he can improve things. I think Tennessee at least is heading in the right direction in that regard. But this is, this has been a long time going. And you talk about, yeah, you're right. Fans are so frustrated by it. They go back to the glory days of the 1990s, and that's what they see is what Tennessee football should be. But it's really far removed from that now.
John, as always, thanks for your perspective. You can follow him on Twitter at John Adams, KNS, Knoxville News Sentinel, a longtime columnist. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.